Howdy there, dear listeners. With the end of 2025 approaching and the holiday season underway, we wanted to give you an update on our release schedule for the end of December through early January. So today we are dropping an episode of The Badlands. On Sunday, we'll drop the arc recap for all of the Echo arc. And then on the 24th, we will still have our regularly scheduled down low over on the Patreon. We are taking a little bit of a holiday break on the 31st. So instead of a Badlands episode, we're going to be dropping an episode of The Dice Cabinet, which you may recognize from over on Patreon, where we bring in a bunch of tabletop community folks to discuss their spiciest takes about TTRPGs. We will be back to the Badlands on January 14th. And additionally, we have a very exciting mini season that's going to be starting sometime in late January. So keep an eye out on this feed, as well as on our socials, for a little bit more information about that. In the meantime, we wish you and yours a very happy holidays and a wonderful new year, and we can't wait to see you in 2026. And with that, y'all, on with the show.
Hello, and welcome to Mage Hand High Five, your third favorite actual play podcast. I'm Max Weinberg. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm joined by Rowan McStay.
Howdy, I'm Rowan McStay. My pronouns are they, them.
Today, we're doing something a little different. It's going to be a couple quick hit interviews with two actual play all-stars about their process for creating characters and those characters' voices. First up, you know them as one of the amazing hosts of Three Black Halflings. They voice Crystal on Puppy Guard, the animated series, and Diane Ramsey on the award-winning audio drama Partial Veil. But that's certainly not all, because they can also be found rolling dice in your favorite actual plays like Wayward Autumnal and A Haunting Beloved. Candace the Magnificent, thank you so much for joining us today.
Woo!
Yay! Hi! So happy to be here.
How's it going?
Having a good day.
That's good.
Best part? Highlight?
I think the best part was getting... So I was let down gently from a job today.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
And I was like, man, that really sucks. But it was a letting down because they wanted a different voice print, which... speaks more to them not knowing what they want and less it being my fault.
Yeah.
And because they had cast me in three roles and only intended on giving me two, they gave me extra money instead of just paying me for the two parts that I did. And then they told me that they had a role for me in the upcoming season so that there would be more work.
That's great.
So I was like, that ended up being pretty solid, actually.
Yeah,
could have been worse.
It's a closed door, open window situation for sure.
Yeah, it was a weird situation because I'm not going to mention the podcast, the audio drama. It is not an AP. It is an audio drama. But I auditioned for several characters and then I heard their trailer, which was one of the sides for the grandmother character. And because my voice is deeper, a lot of people associate that with age. So I get a lot of like mom and grandmother roles. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe I should audition for this. So I auditioned for it and I gave my reading and it was very specific, like my intonation, my articulation, the stress and emphasis that I put on different words, because it was kind of like a night before Christmas sort of vibe to the side. And I listened to the trailer and the actor sounds like an actual grandma, which was cool.
Oh,
an actual
that's
older
neat.
Actor, which makes me happy. But she had the exact same cadence as my read. And I was like,
huh.
Okay. Well, I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure you took my audio file and gave it to this old lady and told her to read it like that. Because the chances of someone coming back with the exact same intonation, like line by line, I played it for my mom because my mom doesn't really know anything about audio other than being, you know, someone who consumes. Mm-hmm. And she listened to it and was like, oh, no, that's the same thing. Did you listen to this lady's performance? And I was like, no, mom.
Opposite.
But
thank you so much. Yeah, strike that. Reverse it.
That you would think I would copy off of this old lady.
Wow. That's wild.
Wild.
Well,
yeah,
what
so
you don't
weird
know.
Time.
What you don't know is that we're getting all of this audio from you so that we can then copy.
Please feel free.
On our new interview show.
Imitation is the best form of flattery. It's fine.
We're just going to find a bunch of other voice actors to do you as this.
Great.
We're going to just send your audio to them.
Listen, like as long as you writer, send it to me and I can be filled with glee and merriment, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah. But I actually think that that's a great kind of segue into kind of the first question, which is kind of just asking about your character creation process for actual play and playing TTRPGs in general and how kind of the character's voice is developed alongside that? Do you, you know, figure out a voice first and then build the character around that? Do you get the character and figure out what parts of that fit the voice? You know, what kind of, what's that like for you?
I'm very much a vibes-based character designer. I find out what the brief is. So for example, for an upcoming, am I allowed to talk about the upcoming actual play?
I think as a little treat, we can be like, for an upcoming secret Mage Hand project or something cool. like that. We can tease.
Okay. So for an upcoming secret Mage Hand project that is still not named, I'm not going to go too in depth. But when I heard about what the brief was going to be, because of the setting, I had a limited number of options to choose from. It was pretty clear that there were things I could do and things I couldn't do. There are some people who have a hard time. They feel, quote unquote, boxed in when they get that those kinds of details. But for me, it narrows my focus. It gives me something more to kind of play with rather than feeling limiting, because I feel limited by too many options. I get too, like, I'm like, I don't know what you want.
The choice paralysis is crazy.
It was really hard the first time I ever played D&D because I was like, there's like 40 things.
I don't know.
Eric Okra. Okay, well, what kind of bird are you? Oh, well, fuck.
Well, there's a million of those.
Like, I was like, I don't. How about this? Half elf. Done. Okay, well, there's like seven. All right, listen.
Literally, I swear to God, that's why I always play humans. That's, I play humans every fucking time.
Easy, right? Like, I think that for me, I start with the brief and I want to know, like, what the vibe is going to be. I also tend to be a player that loves picking last, especially like for classes and things like that, because I want to know where I can kind of boost the team. It doesn't always work because there's almost always someone else that is more established with that group that likes going last. And I never want to be the person that's like, nope, I go last. So then I have to pick. But I think I like kind of coming up with the character in the moment and then the voice comes after. With the character that I'm making for Mage Hand, that character, the setting and the creature type came first. Right. The creature type, I was like, okay, well, I have a selection to choose from. I kind of thought up something. I was like, what kind of creature would you find in this setting? And then I was like, oh, here's a loophole that might open up a range of creatures that are outside of what you would normally find in this setting. So I was like, okay, there's my way in. Okay, I found this creature. What could be cool about this creature? Okay, well, the setting tells me that there are different locations and areas within this larger kind of realm. And I have an intimate familiarity with part of this realm, having like experienced it myself. So I was like, okay, well, that's step two. That is going to dictate how this character looks. Maybe not acts, but how they look. And then I was like, okay, well, what kind of class do I want to be? And so I thought about those two things and I was like, okay, well, if the character's look is X because of where they're from, and if the character's ancestry is Y because of technically where they lived, then what would make the most sense to synergize and synthesize those two things together? And that's how I chose the class. I actually switched classes. Rowan, you were so kind as to send me a new class that I was like, look at that. Because initially I had something else in mind that was, it was honestly pushing my own buttons. I am terrified of insects.
I think you can elaborate a little bit on class. I think in terms of general vibe.
Cool. Yeah. So I knew that I wanted to be a character that was going to be a magic user, and I knew that they needed to be witchy. And at first, I was like really drawn to the sorcerer equivalent in the system. Because I was like, well, that's the closest thing I can get to witchy. Like, a wizard is more, like, I know people use witch and wizard, like, interchangeably, but they're very different things to me. Like, a wizard is like Merlin and a witch is like Morgan Le Fay, and those are not the same.
Those are different.
Very different. So I was like, okay, well, I want to be witchy. Yeah. Sorcerers, pretty witchy. I play a sorcerer in City of the Black Rose, right? I was like, okay, sorcerer. But then Rowan was like, yeah, but have you met this Hexbinder class? And I was like, no, I have not. Hello.
Yeah, a little hedge witch moment.
That was it. I was like, hedge witch? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is the vibe I'm looking for. But originally I was going to be a sorcerer that had like swarms of insects that were going to terrify me and keep me up at night. I was very excited for it, but I knew that eventually I would gross myself out. Now I don't have to do that, which is lovely.
There's kind of nothing like playing something that plays into one of your own like fears or gross outs, because I think no one can describe that anxiety quite like someone who feels it.
Rowan did that to me in a game once.
I did. I have really bad recurring nightmares, and I picked like pieces of each of them. They're like terrible, and I picked pieces of each of them and like gave them to the players, and they did not.
It was rough. I literally said out loud, I didn't sign up for this.
That's how you know you're doing a good job, though.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's good. I think like the voice of that character definitely came from knowing that I wanted to be a witchy character, mm-hmm. and especially after talking myself out of the bug thing, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, you got to be mysterious. So then I was like, she should probably sound wise,
mm-hmm.
but also mysterious because of where she's from. And then I started thinking about Stevie Nicks, because like, who doesn't just sit around thinking about Stevie Nicks?
You gotta, like, you have to.
We found the title.
What about English Stevie Nicks? Yes. Mm. And here we are.
Can you give us a little sample of this character's voice?
Absolutely. I won't give her name yet, because I know we're still working on it, but
mm-hmm.
she sounds purposely like this.
Ooh.
She speaks with a little bit of a lilt and a pause because of the ancestry she has, but very wise and very purposeful.
Yeah.
I love her.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
I can't wait for everyone to meet her. She's
Me
so
too.
Like, I don't know. She's a good mood. She's a good vibe.
I'm so excited to listen to this when it comes out. I'm not really, I'm a little hands off. So it's very, very excited to hear it.
The folks listening to this are getting like the first announcement that it's happening. So,
Yay!
Hey, check mm-hmm. out upcoming stuff on Maintain High Five to be announced.
You will not
maybe
be
soon.
Disappointed. The last episode that we recorded literally ended with everyone clutching their face and body and silently screaming into the microphone with delight, and then abject horror when they realized who they were going to be up against next session. So,
and that's Casey.
I'm just sitting here like,
and that's Casey.
He does that
Casey
every
White.
Time.
We've done that 50 times.
Every episode ends like that.
I think this one is the worst one because it's so exciting for me above table, and it's so horrible at the table. Like, table level, it's like, well, shit. But above table, it's like, well, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. When you hear it, you'll know.
Yeah.
You too will clutch your face.
Candace, I guess, so after you've built these lovely, gorgeous character voices, I think the other question is, across time, you know, like a multi-episode campaign of maybe we record this in 1 month and then 3 months later we record the next episode. How do you keep that voice consistent over time? Is there something that you do to kind of drop into it? Do you have recurring phrases? Do you have, you know, do you listen back to yourself? How do you stay consistent over time with character voices?
It's actually a combination of those things. I always try to remember to do a little voice note recording, like a little voice memo in my phone. Mm. So that way it's like just on hand. I don't have to go searching for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just do like a 10-second message to myself as the character. So that I like remember who they are and how they sound. And maybe even like usually I'll try to, the little message will be about something that the character feels strongly about. Or like mm-hmm. do's and don'ts, or, you know, likes, dislikes, or something like that, so that I can kind of immerse myself. And then, so right before the session, I usually play that little voice memo. And then, like, the thing that kind of is my my vocal stim, I guess, is like a term or a greeting of some kind. So for example, the character that I just previewed to y'all, it's funny because the greeting that I use to warm up is one to your character, Rowan, because they have such a close relationship.
Yeah, and I feel it's like really
if I use the greeting to your character, that starts her in her very like soft place, because I feel like going into the game, I didn't know that that softness was going to come. Like, mm-hmm. I knew that she was capable of it, but I didn't know that it was going to be there the way that it exists right now, like through our RP. So the vocal audio note that I left myself doesn't include any of that softness. It's more like the telling a tale or the mystery or the scary, right? Like when she gets intense, or when they're like, you know, like they're trying to be frightening or whatever, right? It's not really the soft part. So that's the one part that I don't have. So I listen to the voice note and then I say, "Oh, don't worry. Insert voice here.
Yeah.
Everything will be all right." Right? And then I come back into it and I'm like, "All right, I'm ready. Here we go."
It's very sweet. I feel so loved by this character. It's so nice. Like, their voice is such a warm hug of a character voice. It's such a delight.
Voice actors are magic.
Yeah.
So the other person that we're talking with, she is on a video game that I play a lot of.
Mm.
And so hearing her voice, I met her at a show, and hearing her voice come out of a person on an impromptu, like, words, like,
surreal.
Not a script, was such a wild conversation. I met Jeremy once. I had the same reaction. Yeah. I was just like Jeremy Cobb from Three Black Halflings, and I was like, hearing your voice 2 feet in front of me is just a wild experience.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Strange. Yeah.
When I went to Gen Con last year, it was the first time ever I'd gone to Gen Con. And I didn't realize that there would be voice actors there, right? And I'm walking the con. I had panels every single day except for the last day. And it was Sunday, and there were a bajillion people in there. And I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I'm hating every second of this. There are too many people here. In 2019, this would have still been too many people. In 2024, this is entirely too many people. Dislike, strong dislike.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, in this crowd of people. And there's an area that's like relatively empty that people are kind of just milling about because there's no one selling anything there. And I was like, well, thank God. So I kind of turned around this corner to like escape, and I am confronted with a booth, and I see Kikimora from the Owl House.
I love the Owl House so much.
The Owl House is so good. Oh my God. So I'm like,
Casey and I just finished watching it. It's so good.
It is so outstanding. You are going to love it. It is going to pluck every heartstring that you have. It is going to just give you all of the feels that you could possibly have. Just shove them right into your chest. just so good. So I see Kikimora, and I'm like, oh my God, are you selling me Kikimora stuff? I don't have any money because it's the end of this long ass weekend.
Yeah.
But I will buy whatever Kikimora you have. Hello, what is this right now? And then I see like these other characters and I'm like, what? And then I see Melalee and I look down and Kikimora is there, but it's Melalee. Oh. And I'm like,
that's wild.
And so I'm like standing
baffled
in front of her booth and she's like seeing me see her and she's like, hello. And I'm like, and I had just like met Matthew Lillard in a very embarrassing fashion that I will never live down or forgive myself for.
Oh. And
that was really hard because I have loved Matthew Lillard since I was like 8 years old.
He's so much fun.
He is wonderful. I've had a very deep crush on the man for a very long time.
Wow.
Yeah. Scooby-Doo was one of those bisexual awakening moments like The Mummy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're
like,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anybody is good. Cool.
Anyone except Fred, I think, is great in that show.
See, that's how I knew, because I'd been a Scooby-Doo fan before that and was never interested in Fred. And then I was like, Freddie Prinze Jr., meow. So
that's,
you know,
so
what?
Valid. That's,
I don't know.
So valid.
I don't know. Had a hard time. So I bombed. I beefed it. My meeting
I'm
with
so
Matthew
sorry.
Willard. I did not introduce myself at all.
Oh, no.
I did not ask him about any of the things that I'd rehearsed asking him about for the past 20 years.
Did you just get starstruck?
I went, Scream is really good. I love Scream. I watched it when I was young and I turned out okay. And he was like eating Chipotle and was like, yeah, cool. Yeah, you're fine, right?
Thanks.
I was like, yeah, it's mostly okay. I'm a pretty good person. So you're really good. And, you know, Shaggy, right? Scooby-Doo, am I right? This is good. It's right. Yeah,
Zoinks,
you're
right?
Great. You're really great. And he's like, Fred, you're so much. I'm going to eat my food now. I'm like, yeah, you do that. I like Chipotle as well. I'm going to
so
go.
Silly.
And then I left. And then I went, wow. What the fuck, Candace? What? Oh, my God. Oh,
that's
my God,
so
for years, you've been waiting for this moment. You wanted to talk to him about his Law & Order SVU episode because no one ever asked him about that. But
no.
You could have asked him about that, and you didn't, you
but
dummy.
But you talked to him about Chipotle.
Oh, my God. Oh, it was terrible. It was horrible. He had lettuce coming out of his mouth. I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
I'm so sorry.
So I was fleeing from that. I was running away with my tail between my legs, and I didn't know what to do. And then Kiki Mora, who, like, the voice actor, Mela Lee, is beautiful. So I'm just, like, looking at this beautiful voice actor, and I'm like, Kiki Mora? And then she goes, hello, but it's Kiki Mora. And I was like,
yeah.
I don't know what to do. And she was like, oh, that was so great. I'm so glad you recognized me as Kiki Mora. That's so wonderful. And I was like, I'm a voice actor, too. And then I did, like, my second most embarrassing introduction of the day, where I was like, I, too, do voice acting as well. And I like it. And it's fun. And you're really good. And how did you get into it? That's pretty awesome. You're a lot of characters. That's great. She
that's
was like,
so
you
fun.
Should keep up the good work. And I was like, yeah.
That's
and then
so
I was
silly.
Like, you need to go. You need to go and not talk to anyone else. Jeremy and I were there together because he's like, I've been to PAX before. Come on out. We'll talk about the show, right? You can help me find a system for our next thing. Maybe, you know, if you would get cast in the next thing. Because that was before I was a halfling.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. I like walked away from both experiences and he was like, I think that went well. I'm like, don't you fucking lie to me. Okay?
Don't tell me that. Don't tell
up.
Me that.
I know it was trash. Okay, I know it.
Kids, if it makes you feel any better whatsoever, I met Connie from Transplanar by flushing my glasses down the toilet in front of them.
Oh, my God.
So,
did you flush the glasses because you were in front of them? Because I can understand that.
I was in the other stall at a web festival and I flushed my glasses down the toilet and I said, shit. And I heard from the next stall over, are you okay? And I walked out and told Connie, I flushed my glasses down the toilet. Hi, I'm Ro and I also do actual play.
That does make me feel better.
Yeah.
Because Connie is great.
Connie, and, we've said hi at a couple cons since. So,
yeah.
Connie's wonderful.
The first time I met Connie, I didn't know what to say. So I just was quiet.
I didn't have that. I was not burdened with that experience.
That's good. That's good. I feel like sacrificing my glasses to make a good impression in front of Connie Chung is probably the best thing I could have done.
It was $400, but we figured it out.
I feel that. I feel
that's
like
that. A good VIP
so
meet and greet ticket.
It's okay.
Right? And Connie Chung will remember you for the rest of his life. So. Yeah.
Literally, we say hi every time we see each other now. So that'll do it.
Hey, glasses kid.
Literally, that's who I am. So,
perfect.
Hi, Connie.
Well, I don't have a good segue for this. Would you be up for playing like this little game where we give you kind of a short character description and then on the spot you make up a character voice based on that information?
Oh, hell yeah. That sounds awesome.
So we asked some of our people on our Discord for just kind of quick character descriptions of like name, age, lineage, and general vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first one we have is Crimson Crown gave us Edelweiss, who is 27, mm-hmm. is a changeling, mostly in an anthro-jackal form. And the vibe is a gentle person thief that tends to be a Robin Hood type figure, will flirt with anyone and everything.
I feel like this changeling would have a voice that's probably very smooth and very adaptable to different situations. I imagine that they would probably change their the dialect or the accent, depending on who they were speaking to. And I think if they're a gentleman thief, I'd probably start, or a gentle person thief, a gentle them thief. I'd probably start with a more seductive accent that is more of a British RP. But when they're caught, they don't want to deal with your bullshit. Get away from me. What do you want from me? No, go somewhere else. But then when I think they are trying to get their way and they're giving like a rousing speech, they might come back down into that RP again, but give something that's inspiring and hopeful and big.
That's so good.
Thank you.
I love this. You could just do this all day.
That's just fun. Yeah.
Next comes from Jay. The name of this person is Carrot Cake.
Aww.
Is 32, is a goblin. And the vibe is super chill guy, great at mixing drinks. But if you bring up carrots or carrot cake, they become very passive aggressive.
Because goblin, I think like more of a squeaky voice.
Yeah.
But laid back, I think maybe like really long, long tones where like they just are chill and they don't want to get excited because it's not worth it, man. We're only here for so many years before we all turn to dust.
Hey, do you have any carrot cake?
Excuse me. You know, I think it's, you know, pretty rude when people, you know, bring things up that they know you're sensitive about. I'm not talking about people's foreheads today, am I? No. I'm not talking about people's general olfactory excellence or miserableness today, am I? No.
Oh God, that's extra funny because we've joked about this podcast being called Mage Hand Five Head because we all have big ass foreheads.
Same, I fit in here.
My dad, the other day we were getting dinner and he literally said, "You have such a big forehead."
God,
my mom said, and this is true, it's because there's lots of brains inside, and
well,
I will live and die by that.
That's so good.
Some of the most beautiful people in the world have large foreheads. Thank you very much.
And also, we're here.
And for the last one, Rowan, I think it would be really fun to do a character from the Badlands, which is our main long-form campaign that we're doing. So, Rowan, if you have a one you think that would be particularly fun...
See, now I'm trying to think if I want to try to go like to the type that you've been playing to or against the type that you've been playing to.
Whatever delights you.
Let's do against. I think I know you could do Courtois, and I think that would be the same as a lot of similar to a lot of the other things you brought to the table. I'm going to give you Philomena Fiddlefaddle.
Ooh.
Philomena Fiddlefaddle is a dwerger. She is a dwarf wearing coveralls with a pickaxe. She eats a lot of cream corn. She has this big, long beard, has been living alone underground for a very long time and is very kind, but like nuts and will kill anyone.
Hey, will kill anyone in a violent way or in a nuts way?
Yeah. Okay. She's a friend. She's on the on the right side of history, but she will kill everyone.
Okay.
With a pickaxe.
Okay, Philomena, a dwergar who lives alone. I feel like she'd have a gravelly voice.
Okay.
You know, Carpet, you and I have been best friends for a long time. No one comes down here to see me, and no one comes down here to see you, but you see me, and I see you. So the two of us, we don't need anybody else. Who's that knocking at the door? Come in if you're brave enough. I got a pickaxe. I got a pickaxe and it's got your fucking eyeballs on it.
I love it.
This is so good. It's been really fun to do the Badlands ones because we really get some like AU takes on some of these characters. It's so good.
What does she sound like in your world?
I'll have to send you a clip because it's crazy, but only Casey can do it.
Thank you so much. I guess we'll just wrap this one up here. It's, you know, it's quick hits.
Yeah.
We could talk about this for so much longer.
Genuinely.
And hopefully maybe we will at some point if people like this.
Awesome.
And but yeah, do you have anything you would like to plug? Anything coming up or anything? It's coming out in about a week. So
things are gonna be pretty quiet for December. So instead of plugging new stuff, I'm just gonna tell you to go look at my old stuff. Please check out A Haunting Beloved. It just won some awards at New Zealand Webfest.
Yeah.
It is an all disabled production of Bluebeard's Bride by Numinous Productions. I'm very proud of that. I play the Fatale. Please check out Puppy Guard over on Studio Sama, S-A-M-A. That is an indie animation studio that I play this dog, Crystal. It is a D&D-inspired adult animated series.
Oh.
Also, take a look at Poppyhin, P-O-P-P-I-H-I-N. She has a brand new show called The Ebony Witch that's coming out. If you like Studio Ghibli art style and you like kind of old school Disney princess, like, you know, Sleeping Beauty sort of vibes, definitely check out The Ebony Witch. I am the narrator for that. You can see the preview of it on YouTube. And please listen to Three Black Halflings. We are a Black-led and queer-led podcast that is all about intersectionality in the nerd space, TTRPGs. We have a couple of really fantastic guests that we just had on, including Kelly Lynn D'Angelo, Oscar Montoya from Dropout in Dimension 20, and Samantha Bayart, who is the voice of Karlach in Baldur's Gate 3. And then soon we will have a couple more all-stars coming up talking about disability in TTRPGs and game design. So I would love it if you guys would give us a listen.
Highly recommend it. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, campers. Have you heard of season 5 of 5 GMs in a Trench Coat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of three childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes, second edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first 3 episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Max here. Do you know someone that plays TTRPGs but don't know what to get them for the holidays? Why not get them a Hero Forge gift card? Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. But they don't just do minis. Hero Forge also has custom 3D printed dice and keychains. Available at HeroForge.com, their digital gift cards are super easy to use and can be sent instantly via email. So check out HeroForge.com today for some awesome gifts for that TTRPG enthusiast in your life. Some restrictions apply.
And we also have a very, very, very special guest joining us who I can almost guarantee you have seen or heard them before. She's graced the tables of Critical Role, Dimension 20, and the new series Tales from Wood Creek. She's produced and GM'd the Puppy Roll and Puppy Roll 2, raising over $60,000 for Petco Love. You've seen her as Auntie Ruby on Miss Marvel and Disney Plus. And if you're anything like me, you've most definitely heard her while playing video games like Apex Legends, Overwatch, and Sunderfolk. Anjali Bhamani, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for being here.
Well, I guess to just jump into it, as I just kind of mentioned, Anjali, you've done a whole bunch of different acting from stage to screen to voice to animation. And just what was it that kind of got you excited about acting in the first place?
It's really so hard to put a finger on any one thing. But the through line is storytelling, right? Cause ultimately it's a form of storytelling, and storytelling is, it's such a unifying thing, and it's such a connecting thing for all of us through history, right? Whether you're the storyteller or you are the person receiving the story, there's a kind of connection you get through story and the way we remember things that is completely different than just talking about something or just reading the facts or whatever, right? So my family, my parents were, you know, read to us as kids and were big readers. And so we were very immersed in the world of books from a very young age in our family. And then when I started playing D&D and I was like, oh, look, the mythology that I've been learning from this is now in deities and demigods. Mm-hmm. The mythology that I learned from these comic books, Amar Chitrakata comic books, Indian comic books, is also in D&D. And so the way that everything kind of crossed the streams that way, it just became more and more a form of on your feet storytelling. That combined with the fact that I was a big ham when I was a little girl. And
Sam's the best of us.
I mean, look, it happens. Yeah. Loved performing, loved doing the school plays, loved all of that. And mm-hmm. it's really just such a wonderful way to, you know, there's always a home for a storyteller or for someone who is willing to take on a story. There's always some way to connect. And it wasn't until much later in life that I realized that almost everything that I do, the choices I make artistically when I am given the opportunity to make a choice, other than just like taking the jobs that are given to me, but everything that I've chosen to create from the heart is about making sure people know they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like storytelling is my favorite weapon of choice to do that. You know, it's the perfect way to draw people in and connect them and be able to fall into a story together and fall into a world together.
Yeah. Anjali, what are some of the stories that make you feel less alone? What are the ones that make you feel at home? What are the things that make you feel connected?
Less alone or at home? They're two different things.
Okay, that's fair. Give me the quick and dirty version of both or your favorite.
There's a lot of fiction that I remember at particular points in my life needing to read and not knowing before I read it that it was something that my heart needed at that time. And I love that. I love that about just fiction, just specific fiction. I specifically remember reading I Know This Much Is True, that Wally Lamb book, at a particularly dark period in my life, and it helped get me through that time because it was such a sad story, but there was also so much heart in it. As far as being at home in worlds, at the time that I was taking them in, there are so many, but it's in the moment of taking them in, I think, is when I felt the most immersed in them. His Dark Materials, I love, love, love that book series so much. To this day, there's a moment in it, and if you've read it, you know what I'm talking about, which will bring tears to my eyes if I think about it for too long. Really loved the world created there. I love obviously the Lord of the Rings books, this world where there's so much darkness and there's so much terror, but there's so much hope and there's so much loyalty and there's so much, you know, there's so much good in the world that can overcome that. I love, you know, the politics and sociopolitical ramifications aside, I loved the world of the Harry Potter books so much, and the characters and the magic of the world, the kind of simple practical magic of that world. I love worlds where you want to fall into them even when there are dark times in those stories. Because, you know, obviously we're living through some right now. And if you can if you have examples in storytelling of a world where bad things can happen and yet good can prevail and there is tragedy, but there's also hope and all of that, I think it makes us all a little bit stronger. And then getting to fall in love with Exandria from the inside, and learning about it and learning who are from the inside of it. these worlds that my friends have created that are mind-blowing. Just like that, the whole TTRPG experience for me has been one series of just it's been an embarrassment of riches in terms of just creative fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of speaking about all of that and all of the kind of the D&D stuff that you've really jumped headfirst into, I was wondering if you might be able to kind of touch on creating your own character. What influences the voice, or what about the voice influences choices with your character?
It's an interesting question. I whenever people ask me, like, how do you choose? My first thought is, I don't really know. But that's not, like, if I think about it, I can probably break it down. I feel like through the years, and I hope it's this way for most actors, through the years you develop a whole set of tools. And you start putting new ones in your toolbox as you learn them, as you have more experience in life, not just as an actor. And so for me, there's always a way into a character, but it's not always the same one. Whether for voice characters, I mean, for specific characters where I'm only doing the vocal recording and I'm not doing performance capture, obviously there are a set of restrictions that I have to stick with in terms of how I can portray it. But those restrictions don't apply to how I do it. So I can still figure out the physicality of a character and how that affects their voice. You might just not see it. You know, Symmetra's posture is very much a part of how I play that character. How she stands in her heels is how I, you know, very much a part of her voice and her elegance and her, her grace under pressure. Sometimes it's just a particular line or a set of lines in the script that touch me in a particular way that make me think, okay, well, because the thing also is voice is not just the sound. Voice is how you say things, right? It's the words you choose. It's the pace at which you speak. There are so many things that make up each person's unique voice. It's one of the reasons why when we're playing D&D and people ask me, well, I don't do voices, so can I play? I'm like, you don't need to do voices. You speak. You don't even need to speak. You can sign. Like, as long as you can communicate, you can do this game. And for voice characters, it's really just a matter, I mean, it's similar to any other on-camera characters that I create as well. It's just figuring out what my way into that character is.
What would you say when it comes to you've mentioned a character in a scripted medium, in something unscripted, in a tabletop game where you're like creating a character from the ground up. When in that process does voice work come into it? Is it like right at the beginning? Does the voice come to you first, or is it just kind of different
depending on character? It really depends. I mean, the character that I'm playing in Tales from Wood Creek is me. It's my voice in terms of voice. So there was no like, ooh, what voice is this character going to have? And generally speaking, I don't set out to do a voice, quote unquote, there are ways that I want the character to be differentiated from other people or other characters that I've played. For some characters, the voice is very much a part of them, or letting you know where they are from, or letting you know they are not from any one place. So an accent might be something that comes on there, like Fierarai, she's from all over. So she has this kind of implaceable accent. Whereas for when we did Candela Obscura, this very this very highbrow British accent that Charlotte had was to speak of her background and her character and how she presents herself to the world, even if that's not necessarily where she came from. I wish I had a more specific answer for like when it comes in, but it just kind of, it's all part of, it's like if you were making soup, okay? And you like, you're just putting stuff in. You're putting a bunch of stuff in a bowl. Sometimes it has to go in a certain order, but sometimes it doesn't.
So you know,
sometimes
soup.
You're like, oh, hey, I want to add this. I'm going to throw this in at the last minute. So not only is time a weird soup, but apparently characters are a weird soup as well.
Do you have like, because we make fun of Max a lot for this, where getting into certain characters, there's one where he's like, whenever he wants to get into one character, he's like, and like it gets him into that specific voice. Do you use like
a particular line? Line that you do?
No, I know it's a thing, totally, but it is silly. Time. Absolutely.
So whenever you're doing, here's a thing that you may or may not know about voice recording. A lot of times we will go, look, we do a lot of different characters, a lot of us get a lot of voices in our head, and you might have a very long time between sessions. So every time we go in, they will give us what's called a vocal reference, which is the voice that we did the last time. They'll give us some lines, and often they are the same lines over and over and over again. So I may not have chosen those lines, but there are definitely lines where I'm like, oh, you know, that's Symmetra. If I say, welcome to my reality, you know, that's Symmetra. There's no, like, right that's there. Just an easy, right there. There she is, right? There's no.
Where's the shield?
Yeah, exactly. Please, the wall. Yeah. So there are definitely like catchphrases, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not necessarily things that I use to get into character anymore, because those characters are so much a part of me. Yeah. The vocal rest helps me remember where they might be pitched, but already I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah. I know that guy. I know that girl. I know that character. I know that dog. I know that whoever I'm playing. Yeah.
I was wondering if you might want to, if you play like a game where I give you like the vibe and name of a character and you just kind of make a character based on that information, the voice real quick. I just got a couple of them. And then we'll,
love that. We have to
and
do
then
that.
We'll wrap it
we
up.
We have to do that every show at the 20 Sided Tavern.
Oh, that's fun.
Right? Think about it. Because not only are we playing our player characters on stage, but sometimes we're jumping in and helping with other, you know, things. We're helping the DM, or we're helping the tavern keeper, or we're helping people. So yeah, that sounds fun. Let's do it.
Yeah, we. I just got a few of them. I pulled our Discord for one. So we have from High Archivist Pengu, we have Craig, who is in their 30s, is a treant or tree person, and is an upbeat wrestler who's all about teaching their opponents to do better.
Okay, guys, so like this is how you got to work. You know, you got to take those branches. You got to make sure you wrap them around the other guy. You got to wrap them around. They can't see you coming. You got to be sneaky, you know. You got to stay up. You got to stay low, but you got to stay up. You got to make sure that you're wrapping around and up and down. It's all about the posture.
Craig.
Amazing. Craig.
Craig. What's up, Craig?
For the other side of this, maybe we could do from Aisha, Ophelia Raymond, who is a high elf, but is 225. I think that's in elf years. So maybe a teenager.
Oh, she's
very protective.
Okay.
I just kind of am guessing, but very protective older sister.
A thousand years? Is that how long?
Yeah, very long.
Yeah, they're like 700, which is why, yeah. Very protective older sister, very noble with an ideology that she follows to the letter.
And say her name again?
Ophelia Raymond.
Hello, I'm Ophelia Raymond. You must know who I am, I'm assuming. So you're telling me you want to date my little sister, is that so? Yes, there are a series of tests that you must first go through before I can decide whether or not you're worthy of her. First, jump off that cliff and let's see if you go splat.
I wanted to date your sister, but I don't anymore.
Overprotective. Said she's overprotective,
that's
right?
So good.
Overprotective sister.
All you gotta do is, just jump off the cliff.
She has an overprotective sister.
She is. She is. So that was perfect.
Spot on. Good. That was really fun.
I think we should do Rowan. Who should we do from the Badlands? Just a really quick.
Oh, we should give you a character from our extant campaign that already has a voice, but just to see what you come up with for that character.
Okay.
Let's give you. Professor Portens, a magician, con artist, sort of snake oil salesman traveling through a dusty frontier hawking dubious healing potions.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to show you something today that you've never seen before. That's right, I have nothing in this pant leg. I have nothing in this pant leg. But what I do have is potions. That's right, potions. Very powerful potions. You there, sir. You with the limp over there. Come over here, sir. Please come. I want to help you out. let me give you this potion here. And also here, this cane. And see if this doesn't make you feel at home. Oh, lot better. All you have to do is use the cane and the potion. I mean, you would have been fine with just the cane. But all you have to do is use the cane. Perfectly fine. Yes, indeed. I'm telling you, I am a healer. That's me, a healer. Yeah.
This is not entirely that far off, actually. That's very good.
Amazing.
It was wonderful. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you so much.
I'm so sorry. And you know what? I'm sure we will have another time to chat.
Definitely. Thank you so much for being here. Before we go, you've got some very exciting things to plug.
Yes, absolutely. Tales from Wood Creek. please, everybody, watch Tales from Wood Creek. It is on the Dungeon Dudes channel. We didn't talk about it very much, but it is a very, very cool new show DM'd by Deborah Ann Wall. It's me and the Dungeon Dudes, Monty and Kelly as the main cast. We have Iman Vellani. We have Jessica Hennick, Sean Majumdar, and Will Wheaton as our guests. It's essentially D&D meets an escape room meets reality TV and watches the magic unfold. Super, super, super cool. And then please come see the 20-Sided Tavern. We have 6 weeks in Los Angeles coming up, starting the week of Thanksgiving. I will be jumping in for shows here and there and for the entire last week in Los Angeles between December 30th and January 4th. I will also be, I don't know when this is coming out, but I will also be doing two shows in San Diego on November 18th and 19th for anyone who can make it down. I know it's very, very soon. So yeah, keep an eye out on the socials. We're always adding new shows, new cities to the tour. The cast is one of the most remarkable casts you will ever see anywhere. They're so phenomenal, and it's a rotating cast, so you will never see the same show twice. It's really, really magnificent, and you can get all that information on the20sidedtavern.com.
Amazing. And hey, if you go see 20 Sided Tavern, also be on the lookout for friend of the pod, Jasmine Molivet, who's also in the cast. And with that, we want to give a huge thank you to both of our incredible guests for joining us for these bite-sized interviews about voice acting and character creation through voice. We really appreciate both of them being here. And please, please check out Candace and Anjali's work. They're both incredible performers and wonderful people, and we are so excited to have them here. We will be back later this week with an episode of Magehand High Five the Badlands. So until then, how about a high five? Thank you so much for listening to this special bonus episode of Magehand High Five. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. For $5 a month, you get all kinds of extra goodies like homebrew stat blocks, early access to merch, and a whole second extra podcast, Magehand Down Low, where we talk about the behind the scenes of the episodes. Not to mention, you can help small creators as we work on this passion project. Check us out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. Please check out our website at magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We are on Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky, Facebook, Discord, probably not LinkedIn, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way, and thank you so much to those of you who already have. And now I am going to shout out all of our subscribers on Patreon. Just like Robin, I'm going to try to do it in one breath, but I'm going to see how slow I can do it on one breath just to like kick up the competition a little bit. Michael Carey, Mara Nutt, Max Eats Sticks, Malty, Azure, Luke Sharpless, Miranda Koppel, Jay, Theo L, Zwight, Lindsay, Dale Heinbecker, DM Dippy Fresh, Darth Zelda, Deborah Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads the Jelly Cube, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Ash Flies with Ravens, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, A.M. Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forestoki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Mira the Nerd, El DeSol, Gelata Pang, Michael Clevenger, Laura Hickman, Al, and Sam Richardson. Ooh, that was hard doing it that slow, but Robin, the game is on. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell that little gray rain cloud that's been following you all around the forest, just raining on your head about the show. And when you do it, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?